Welcome back to another episode of the Kicking It With the Colonels podcast. Wes and KJ here with you. We are presented by UK Sports Medicine. You know what I just thought of?
What's up?
We need that theme song. You know, the Eminem song, Guess Who's Back?
No.
No?
Oh, you like Slim Shady.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I was thinking.
Say welcome back. But we do need a theme song.
I was thinking the candy. I was like, I don't know any.
We do need a theme song. That's probably the only portion of that song we could play for you, because we'd probably be shut down. Maybe we could work on that. Let's get us a theme song
for sure.
All right, well, while we do that, we are going to in the meantime, we're going to have a great episode for you here today. We will be chatting with Anders Larsson of Men's Golf. He will be with us here in just a little bit. KJ and I will break down some of the happenings around EKU sports right now. And we begin with track, and at Cholula, a big weekend, the record breaker for her.
Yeah, absolutely. And Cholula breaks the school 10,000-meter record. Once again, it was her own school record. She finished third overall at the Stanford Invitational this weekend.
Yeah, when you break your own record, you know you are pretty successful. Yeah, so congratulations, Edna. Great accomplishment. They will be in action again on April the 10th at the Lee Fast Break Athletics Invitational, so maybe a chance to even break her own record again.
Again, one more time.
We'll see. What about Philly Bolnes, the men's tennis? Another hardware coming to men's tennis, their third conference player of the week award this year.
Absolutely. He had a great week. Wins against Bellarmine, two wins over number 14, Illinois. So just an absolute amazing week. It can't get much better than that.
It's the third time that a EKU player has been selected for player of the week, second time for Bolnes. And we talked about it a little bit in our last podcast that it is the end of the season. They will close the regular season on Friday at Lipscomb down in Nashville. And before you know it there, that conference tournament coming up, the 14th through the 18th down in Fort Myers and hosted by FGCU. So end of the year coming down for tennis. They've had a pretty good year.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's always great to finish on a high note. So, yeah, absolutely.
On into baseball now, Khalil Pratt, big weekend. Four homers, recently named ASUN Player of the Week. Yeah, those four homers in the Austin Peay series. And just always good to have that middle of the bat doing some damage.
Yes. I mean, four home runs in one week is just unexplainable. Yeah. Like, I've personally never felt that. But I can imagine what it might feel like. He also had a 500 on base percentage, too. So, you know, doing it on both sides of the ball, power and consistency. So
hit those two home runs in one game against Austin Peay. Maybe a two home run, four home run weekend's coming for you.
Maybe.
We'll see. Well, EKU baseball coming off a close loss at Vanderbilt in their midweek game. Give a lot of credit to the bullpen. Four innings against Vandy, only one run. Mm-hmm. It was always good to have those arms coming in and seeing kind of how you measure up against a Vanderbilt team.
Yeah. I mean, Vanderbilt, even if they're not having the best season that they're used to having, you know, it's still a power for a great team that's supposed to dominate in every situation. So just to be able to compete with a team like that, just, I mean, it's looking up for baseball this year for sure.
The Vandy boys is what they call them.
Yeah.
Four straight at home this weekend for EKU at baseball. I think that's going to be big, including a three-game series with Bellarmine, who they're two games behind in the standings. So a chance to catch up to Bellarmine with a good weekend. You always want to get that series win.
No, absolutely.
The team that is up ahead of the standings.
Yeah, just, you know, kind of get your foot in the door and kind of just dominate where you can and get the runs back how you can or the wins back.
They will take on Bellarmine Friday, Saturday, Sunday out at Earl Combs Stadium. Can come out and join baseball. And then also softball coming off another close loss. You almost had Kentucky in the midweek game, big weekend ahead against North Alabama, the number one team in the gold division.
Yeah. I mean, same thing that we just said for baseball. Like, we're a couple of games behind. So just trying to do what we can, win the series, and just come back with a sweep, hopefully.
So you all will play two on Saturday, one on Sunday. So I guess no Jason Derulo concert for you Friday night?
No, unfortunately not. I will miss that. And if his son comes out, I'm just going to have to watch from social media.
There you go. Well, what do you think is going to be the biggest key for your team to be able to kind of have it put together a good series just all the way around? Because you all were so close against Kentucky, just could not get that last thing to go your way.
Yeah, I mean, just executing is going to be our biggest thing, whether that's fielding, whether that's hitting, just making sure we do our job and whatever job that is, that we do it well.
Well, best of luck this weekend. All right. Well, one person that is executing on all cylinders right now is Anders Larsson of Men's Golf. We're going to chat with him for a little bit, get to know him, and bring you his story.
Hey.
Yeah. Joining us now is Anders Larsson of Men's Golf. Welcome to the Kicking It With the Colonels podcast.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Take it away, KJ.
So, Anders, today I have for you this or that section sponsored by UK Sports Medicine. So I'm going to ask you 10 this or that questions. They're rapid fire. Just answer the first thing that comes to your mind, whatever that is.
Okay, you got it.
All right. Okay, first question, dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Coffee or energy drink?
Coffee.
Stay up late or wake up early?
Stay up late.
Case or Striden?
Case.
Drivers or irons?
Drivers.
Walk the course or ride the golf cart?
Ride.
Early morning tea time or a sunset round?
Sunset round.
Warm-up music or silence?
Warm-up music.
Practice alone or with teammates?
Alone.
Okay. And then golf simulator or practice range?
Practice range, for sure.
That's fair. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Aced. All right. Well, welcome to the show. We're glad that you are joining us here. And man, what a run you're on right now. It has to be feel real good. Just what's kind of the biggest key for your game right now to be in the spot that it's in?
Yeah, I think when I struggle is when my body's not healthy. I think worrying about more of the physical components of my game rather than the technical components. And so I've really just been trying to keep my body healthy over the stretch. I mean, you play so many rounds and you walk so many rounds in such a short period of time. So keeping your calves stretched out, going to the trainer, shout out Sarah, and getting work done. And then just being ready for when you're under the gun. And and then when it recently for me, when I've been getting out on the course, just trying to stay calm. You know, we talked about would I rather drink energy drinks or coffee. I try to drink coffee and just stay mellow. You play these 36 hole rounds and you have to conserve your energy so well, because you're teeing off at 8 and you're finishing sometimes at 8 p.m. Right. And so trying to conserve your energy and just stay pretty mellow throughout the round. Again, you're going to get frustrated, but you just can't let it affect your next shot. So
how do you do your coffee?
I black with my girlfriend. So I never drank coffee. But my girlfriend probably 4 months ago when we were together, she's like, you just got to try it. She's like, all right. And she drinks it black. And I said, all right, how should I do it? She's like, well, you can put some milk in there. And I said, just give me how you drink it. And I drank and I was like, you know, it's not bad.
I just
yours.
I don't. I literally don't. I cannot stay at the table.
Coming from a no coffee person at all right here, you could tell me whatever and I'd believe you. So, but yeah, that's fantastic. All right. So from Pine Island, Minnesota, right? Okay. Yeah. So I wasn't sure where that was.
Yeah.
But it's pretty here. Very small town, right?
Very
small town. Okay. So I went to the Pine Island, Minnesota tourism website.
Okay.
And it's directly from it. And I have a new favorite hometown.
All right.
So it says Pine Island was given its name from the Native American term Wazuwita.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did I pronounce that right?
Yep.
Okay. Which translates to the Isle of Pines, located along the beautiful banks of the Zumbro River.
Yep.
Okay. The first settlers came to Pine Island in 1854. In 1911, a group of small dairies built a prize-winning world record 6,000-pound cheese on a railroad flat car. By 1920, there were 43 cheese plants in the surrounding area. Half of them formed the Minnesota Cheese Producers Association with a large plant in Pine Island. That plant and its adjoining butter factory were located across from Trailhead Park.
Exactly. That's Pine Island, Minnesota right there.
What did I just read?
Yeah. So Pine Island, it really is what it sounds like. Yeah, we got a bunch of pine trees, and that's hence its name, right? Isle of Pines. And we got the Zumbro River that surrounds Pine Island. There's the island. And then we got, it's a massive butter and cheese factory. It's huge. You smell it every morning. So like out in the mornings, 8 a.m. tea time when I was yay high, you get a scent of like Cheeto cheese, and it's just, you know, sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not, but you know, that's where you're raised, so you got to deal with it.
You embrace it, right?
You embrace it. Yeah. Yep.
Is there like a statue, or is there like a what, how do you 6,000 pound of cheese?
Yeah, how it's remembered is we have a festival every year called Cheese Fest.
Okay.
And that is like, that's the masters of Pine Island. Okay. That is the week. So we have like a little carnival ordeal that goes up. We shut down downtown. It's probably half a mile. You'll have like carnival games, cheese curds, anything cheese you can think of, right? You'll have milk, a bunch of milk dealers. And so you show up. It's very expensive, but you get your cheese, you get your lemonades, you play some games, and then you walk home. That's about it. And then there's always like, I mean, they'll play softball tournaments and stuff, Cheese Fest softball tournaments, Cheese Fest basketball tournaments. We have a golf scramble at the club that I play at, and so it really is what it sounds like.
Will you invite KJ and I?
Yeah, if you guys are not lactose intolerant, feel free. Show up. It'll be a blast.
See, I was actually born in Minnesota, and I could not tell you any of that.
Really? Where at?
I was born in St. Paul.
Okay.
Yeah, so not anywhere near.
Yeah.
I don't know. Nothing about no cheese. What's your favorite part of the Cheese Fest?
The tournament. I play it with my family every year. Yeah, my brother and my dad, and we have a good time. Yeah.
That's fun.
That's phenomenal. I want to go to that.
They hide a golden nugget of cheese around the town. They give you clues. A clue comes out every day, and whoever finds it, I don't know what they get, but like $500. Exactly.
Yeah.
So like every year it'll be like some clue and you'll go find it next to the school playground or something like that. It's pretty neat.
So if we go and I come back and I retire, you know, I was,
found the golden nugget. Yeah. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Transitioning off of that, if we can. The Florida State Invitational, you won that individual championship. How amazing, how cool. Tell us about that story and just what it was like to win that individual championship.
Yeah, obviously, with only a couple events left in my career, I was wondering, like, you know, is it ever going to happen? And all the coaches that I've been fortunate to play under, they're all like, it's just a matter of time, it's going to happen. And, you know, you hear that and it's kind of a cliche. You're like, I hope it does, you know? And eventually, like I said, I was running out of time. I was like, I gotta get this across the line. But it's like the harder I try, the worse, the least chance it's going to happen. It's like I said, from 36 whole days, 18 whole days, you just got to stay mellow. You just got to do your best at not doing your best, right? Mm-hmm. And so that week for me, it was kind of a weird week. We played, I think, 18 hole, or no, we played 34 holes that first day, 2 holes the second day because it was a washout. And then 18 holes that final day. And it was really warm, rainy, freezing cold. So I was like, super easy to check out mentally, right? Going back to the hotel and turning your brain off, going out for 2 holes. But I made a promise to myself. I was like, you know, you got to stay committed. Like, you have to stay committed from the Tuesday, I think, that we tee off to the Thursday that we finish, or whenever the dates were. And I did that. And then it's just a kind of a culmination of hitting it well and putting it well. The course was in great shape, so it's just a matter of putting yourself in the right spots. And again, it's a marathon, and that's how I treated it. It's, if I missed a 6-footer, I wasn't going to get too mad because I had 41 6-footers left to hit, you know. And yeah, got across the line with a good final day. It was probably one of the better rounds I've played in college, and yeah, it was a fun day. It was nerve-wracking on the last hole. I had like 9 feet for par. And I just told myself, like, just hit this thing. Just hit it hard. Don't leave it short. And I didn't. It went in. So, yeah.
How do you deal with the pressure of when you go and attack a shot, like, knowing that, okay, this shot is really big. I need this shot. How do you go through all that pressure?
Yeah. So some people look at it like they get tense and they get tight. It honestly kind of frees me up, because when I know the shot is very important, I take extra time to go through my routine and like visualize the shot, because I'm like, I know this is so important that if I just rushed it and hit it poorly, I'd be very mad, right? And so it almost frees me up, because I know I'm taking more time. I visualize it. And if a coach is there, we'll talk through it with a coach. And then really all you do, like for me, I just pick a spot out on that ball. I go from my club face to the ball. Once my eyes set on that ball again, it's 100%. And I just shut my brain off, and you really just go back to the preparation, right? You hit millions of balls leading up to the important shot, right? And that's just kind of how I go back to. Once my eyes meet that ball again, it's 100% go. And if it's 100% go and I top it, at least I know it was 100%. Yeah. And so that's kind of how, that's how I deal with pressure. Again, a lot of people deal with it different ways, but yeah.
I love that. Very, I pick out a spot on the ball and I just go,
back and forth. Yeah.
That's awesome. I love that approach.
Yeah.
So tell us about these two PGA Tour events you played in. That's, that had to be a huge honor.
Yeah. Yeah. That was super neat. The Monday qualifiers leading up to it is my first ever Monday qualifier I played in. And so, and that was the first time I Mondayed into it, was the first one I played in. And so I had nothing and didn't know what to expect. And so I showed up, we got through the pre-qualifier because you have to pre-qualify into the Monday. So I pre-qualified, we came back that Monday, and there were a ton of professionals that I knew. And I was like, what? Like, this, I thought this guy was playing this week. And it's like, no, he needs the Monday in, he doesn't have status. And so I was like, well, I'm not going to beat him. I'm a little freshman, right? And I was like, I mean, I could if I play well. And I made the turn at one under in that Monday. And then I made a birdie on like 11 or 12. And then I birdied the last five to get in. And it, so it all happened very quickly. So I got in and my dad's crying. I'm hugging him and we're freaking out. And then, yeah, you go to the event. And again, like I said, everything happens so quickly because Tuesday's practice on Wednesday, pro-am and practice. And then Thursday you start. And you know, you grow up watching these guys play on TV, and now you're playing in the same field with them, and you're like, okay, I have to get it together, you know? And it's hard not to do too much. It's hard, like, for me, I struggled those 2 years I got in trying to be somebody I wasn't. I was trying to be a professional. I was trying to put on, like, hey, this is how golf needs to be played. Golf needs to be played the way each individual person plays it, and I just didn't do a good job of that. And so I kind of struggled those 2 weeks, but the amount that I learned from just being around those guys and being in a venue like that and how you carry yourself when thousands of people are watching is so important. And I would say success or not successful or unsuccessful, you're going to learn so much in events like that. And I was unsuccessful both weeks in making the cut, but like I said, you learn just as much failing as you do succeeding. So great, a great opportunity to learn going forward. And I've really used some of that knowledge that I've gained for these last couple of years here in college. And then here in the summers when I'm playing similar events like that.
So, mm-hmm.
How much do you think that experience just impacted your performance this year?
Yeah, I think going back and, well, so any event you play in that's bigger than the one you're currently playing in relieves some nerves, if that makes sense. So if you're teeing off in a final round at Seminole Country Club in Florida State's event, you're like, well, this wasn't the same feeling as teeing off in a PGA Tour event, right? And so it allows you to kind of ease those nerves a little bit, even if you're in the hunt or leading. So, for example, Mid-Pines the week before, I was tied for the lead, I think at 5-under with one guy. I ended up losing by a shot. But teeing off, you'd normally think like most people are nervous. It wasn't that I wasn't nervous. It's just you feel prepared. You know, you like, I've competed in an event similar to this or bigger than this. So I feel ready and I feel like I've experienced it before. Yeah. And then it just frees you up to go play golf instead of play that whole mental game that golf can come with.
Mm-hmm. What first drew you to golf?
My dad. Yeah. My dad. We grew up on a golf course. I think, like, obviously you don't have any memories until you're like six, but one of my first pictures that I've ever seen of me as a kid was my dad and my older brother, Hayden. He's 25 now, 25 or 26. He had a golf bag on his shoulder. My dad had a golf bag on his shoulder and I was in the stroller with a golf ball and they were walking out to the range. So I'm sure it started there. Right. And then I remember when my mom and I would go pick up my two older siblings from preschool. I'd bring like a little plastic ball, a little plastic putter. And there was these signs. I don't know why I remember this so distinctly, but there are these signs that had these little like circles that the sign sat in. And I was like, gosh, that's a golf hole. And so it was like right next to the road and I'm putting and these cars are driving by. My mom's like, Anders, you can't be putting here. I'm like, Mom, I need to make this putt. And so I think it was just kind of a culmination of growing up on the golf course and then my dad being there to support. He never pushed me into it, which I think is the most important part. You know, if you're pushed into something, you generally are going to rebel when you're a teen. And so it was always something like, get out on the golf course at 8 a.m., go play 18. And my mom would get, oh my gosh, through a high school career, she would get so mad because the dinner would get cold. And I'd come in And I'm like, Mom, I shot 64. And she's like, I don't care. The dinner's cold. And so that's kind of how I got into it growing up. And like, again, like you said, small community. So everybody knows everybody. So you'll play with six different guys in a day and you'll have a blast out there.
What's the best round you've ever shot that you can remember?
Oh, I shot 58 at the Golden Eagle at Tennessee Tech when I was there. But I would say I shot 59 at my home course. So I'd say probably the 58 at the Golden Eagle. It's the lowest score, not score to par, but it's the lowest score because it's par 70. So probably that 58.
That's usually when I get mini golf.
Yeah, but for the ones at home that have no idea what you're talking about, can we dumb that down just a little bit? Like 58, how good is that?
It's good. It's it was a par 70, so it means it's 12 under.
Okay.
I think I made the turn at 7 under, meaning I finished the front nine 7 mm-hmm. under through 9, and then I shot 5 under on the back.
Yeah.
So it was pretty cool, mm-hmm. and I have a lot of pictures. There's somebody following me around taking pictures during that round and like videos, and so I have some cool memories from it.
Yeah.
But right after I shot 58, I pulled out of the parking lot, got onto the main road, and got rear-ended. Going 40 miles an hour. So I was like, you shoot 58 and then your car gets totaled. So I guess I don't know if it was worth it. My dad would probably say it wasn't, but yeah, that was kind of a crazy coincidence.
That's meaning a nice little purse for winning a
thing. No kidding. Yeah, I would take $2.2 million to repair that car. Yeah.
You gonna be going into the Masters this weekend?
Glued into it?
Yeah.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. We we'll play a practice round on Sunday, but Coach Stevens came up, he's like, we play practice round on Sunday, but we tee off at 9, so we should be able to watch the end. I said, perfect. I said, that's all that matters.
Well, who's your Masters prediction?
This could age terribly. This take could age terribly, but I got
Canned. It could be great.
It could be great. Yeah, it could be great. It's
record now.
You're not wrong. I got Cam Young just because he got over the hump in a big event in the Players. Now that he's got that monkey off his back, I think he can go do something great.
When Cam Young wins it, we're going to cut a clip for this and say, Anders Larsson said it first.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
What, tell me about just kind of being an overall student athlete. There's, and KJ, you can talk about this too a little bit, is there's so many things nowadays in being a student athlete. Yep. You've got classes to deal with. You've got all these other things that people don't see. What's it like for you in a golf standpoint being a student athlete? Take us through like what your normal day is.
Yeah. So luckily, this senior year, Tierney and I have been able to make a nice schedule, or athletic advisor, academic advisor, to where I'm all online. So I'm able to attack those classes in the time that I'm not out on the golf course or able to be out on the golf course. So a normal day these days is generally wake up around like 8. If we don't have lift, wake up around 6:30 to 7. If we do have lift, get a lift in. I get out to the course. We normally practice at 11, but get out to the course around 9:30. Practice from 9:30 to 1. Go home, eat food, go play 18 until dark. Generally, so it's a lot. It's a lot of golf, but it's what you need to do behind the scenes to be successful. And a lot of the time, and I'm sure you know this as well, it's like if the EKU women's softball team wins, they're like, oh, they're lucky. It's like, no, it's not luck. It's things you don't see, right? And I think being able to put yourself in the situations to people. For people to be like, oh, he's lucky, or oh, he keeps getting lucky. It's like, no, it's not luck. But if you want to think that, that's fine. And so I think just delegating your time wisely to get those classes done. And I don't know if you have online classes or if you're in person, but just being able to get what you need done, take care of your homework, and then do it all over again. Yeah.
I mean, he said literally everything. Luckily, I have one online class this like last half semester, but the first half of the semester, I'm in grad school, so like two in-person classes just absolutely kicked my butt. So, delegating your time, utilizing as if you have free time, you're probably supposed to be doing something, basically.
Yeah, right.
But literally, if you don't have that thought process, then you're not going to make it, honestly.
Could you play golf every day?
100%. Yeah. My, Sarah and my girlfriend would probably tell me not to.
So
my body falls apart. Yeah. I got a lot of things wrong with my body, but I could play every day.
I could see where a lot of people would A, want to, and B, willing to. I always think that it's like, somebody I meet that's like from the beach, I'm like, I always want to ask them, Do you ever get tired of the beach?
Right.
Do you ever get tired of the beach?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good analogy.
Yeah. I've
never thought about it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's such a different thing. It's such a different round every time you play, yeah. Right? You might shoot 62 and then you might tee it up and shoot 80 and you're like, well, it's a day apart, right? So that's why it's such a great game.
Yeah. What's your favorite course you play, man?
Ooh. So my dad and I went out to Pebble Beach for my senior trip. He surprised me with a trip out to the Spyglass, the Lynx course out there. I can't remember the name. And then Pebble. And so I think playing Pebble with him, not only experience, but the course.
Yeah.
I think that's gotta be my favorite.
Yeah. Outside of golf, what do you like to do?
Really eat. I love eating. I love eating. Right. I love eating. But on top of that, when you're an athlete and you love eating, you have to lift. You have to work out. So I like working out. My girlfriend is a trainer. So like she has clients and teaches classes. And so she's big into the fitness realm and industry. And so I pull a lot of inspiration from her and I'll be tight in this spot. And so she's like, well, you can still work out. You can do these. And I'm like, but I go do it because I know it's good for me. I know she wants what's best for me. So, yeah, I think my main two things are eating, lifting, and then just kind of hanging with friends. So go do random things, mini golf, a little fun things like that.
What is your stance on mini golf? Because I know some people, some like big time golfers, hate putt mini golf.
Yeah.
Well, how do you feel about it?
See, for me, like, I'm a very, I use my imagination when I play. And when you step up and you see a little clown, it's like, oh, I can bounce it off his head, his nose, his mouth. So I like it.
Yeah.
But I've heard a lot of people are like, oh, mini golf sucks. It's like, just use your
imagination. You know, I guess.
Yeah. And I think that's what makes it so fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like you can play the shot 16 different ways.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like it. I think it's fun. But
well, and probably in your perspective, golf is so serious 99% of the time.
Yeah.
I imagine it's probably good to have some of those little fun moments.
Exactly. Yeah. And obviously any athlete that's playing Division I sports is always competitive, right? So even when you go to mini golf and you're able to play against someone, you're competitive, but it's a different competition, right? And that you're exactly right. Golf is, from most of the time, from when you wake up to when you go to bed, for me, it's business, right? It's like, this is what I do. I have to take care of my business. But then say we're able to sneak a 9 holes in with a friend or somebody you don't normally play with, or go play mini golf. You're right. It's like that 1% of kind of release. It's not like I don't have fun when I'm competing or prepping. It's just a different type of fun. But yeah, when you're able to go and separate yourself from what you need to do to opposed to what you want to do, that what you want to do is like awesome. It's so fun.
Yeah.
And mini golf is a great experience for that.
Yeah. Tell us how you wound up at EKU coming over from Tennessee Tech.
Yeah, it's kind of a crazy story. So I entered the portal after my sophomore year. Like I said, I had broken my hand that first round of conference. And we thought it was just tendonitis, but I went into the doctor, got an x-ray or whatever, and they found out I had broken hamate bone. So I'm going into the portal with a broken hand, which is a horrible idea, right? Because you're like, oh, hey, coach, I'm transferring. And they're like, oh, awesome, you ready to go? And it's like, well, I'm getting surgery in 3 days, right? And so I went into the portal with a broken hand and got some bites. A lot of northern schools kind of from coaches knowing my name back home. And I wanted to stay south just because of the weather. You can't really golf when there's 4 feet of snow on the ground. So I wasn't getting a ton of bites that I wanted, and I had a ton of coaches like, hey, if this guy doesn't commit, I'm calling you. And it's like, I can't wait around on you. The portal's nervy, scary. And so Justin Begley, who plays here, who I live with right now, he had an Instagram story up. And I click on it, and I'm just scrolling through Instagram because I'm tired of all sending all these emails. And I thought, I was like, and I knew him prior. We played in a junior event together. And I was like, why don't I reach out to him at EKU? We stopped when my freshman year at Tennessee Tech, we stopped at EKU practice facility out at the Learning Center on our way up to a tournament. And I was like, gosh, this place is nice. Like, I could get better here. And so I was like, why don't I DM him? So I DM'd him. I said, hey, do you have any transfer spots open? And he's like, let me send you my coach's number. So I got the Tereshko's at the time, Justin Tereshko's number. And I texted him, or I called him, and within like 15 minutes, I had an offer. And I was like, Now, it's super good. Like, that was one of the best things that happened to me, having a coach reach out and saying, like, hey, like, instead of we're waiting on this one guy, it's like, I want you. Right. And that felt really good. And I knew that I was going to be able to succeed here and improve my game because of the facilities. And so I was like, let's do it. I knew a couple of guys on the team already. It's like, let's do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All through the power of Instagram.
Exactly. Instagram, Instagram DMs are made. Yeah.
Well, one final question for you before we let you spin this wheel. If you could play 18 with anybody in the world, alive or dead?
Just one person?
Just one person.
Shoot. I'd have to say Lee Trevino.
Okay.
I think his stories are hilarious. He talks a lot, so it would never get boring. Yeah, I would have to say Lee Trevino. Probably.
That'd be a good one. That'd be a good one. All right, you ready for this wheel?
I'm ready for all the right. wheel.
Well, if KJ gets that set up, what are your thoughts on Happy Gilmore, the movie?
The new one?
Either one.
I love the original one. I
haven't seen the second.
It's a little gimmicky for me.
Okay.
A little gimmicky. Okay. Yeah.
So, too much?
Yeah. The cameos save the movie. If you didn't have the cameos, no go.
Okay. All right, well, you ready to give this a spin?
Yeah, I don't even know what's on here.
There's a lot of stuff.
Do I even look, or do I just spin it?
Just give it one big heart spin.
Oh, that was weak.
All right.
Well, give us... Dream Vacation.
Ooh. That's a good question. Dream Vacation would be somewhere where I could play golf. Okay. So it would have to be like... Honestly, going to St. Andrews and seeing all the history there and like staying downtown St. Andrews would be so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool.
Bring a couple friends would be so awesome.
Yeah.
And play golf.
And play golf. Yeah.
Of course.
Leisure golf.
So hard to get into. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's awesome. Well, when that festival comes, you're going to give KJ and I a call and we're going to come up.
An Instagram DM.
Yeah. Instagram DM. Yeah. We know the power of it.
Love it. We'll go find that golden nugget.
We're going to find that golden nugget, and we're going to make some money.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Anders, it's been a blast getting to talk to you. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thanks for having
us. All right. That is Anders Larson joining us here on the podcast this afternoon. We hope you enjoyed it. And until next time, you've been kicking it with the Colonels.